back to Pushing Buttons, a video game podcast, part of the Geek Freaks Network. I'm Kyle.
Now I'm Frank.
And today we're going to be discussing all things World of Warcraft. Of course, Kevin is abstaining from this conversation, which is probably for the best, because we're going to be going over, you know... Oh, wait, I forgot to introduce you.
I said Anne Frank.
Oh, you did? Okay, I thought
Frank.
I missed it.
Anne Frank. I was like Anne Frank the books. Oh, yeah. People know me at this point, I think.
I mean, you're a regular now. It's like, you know, Frank is always here. No.
Yeah, I'm like Norm at the bar in Cheers. Like, I'm just hanging out. Nobody knows me. There you go. I might not be running things, but still.
Well, as of today, Dragonflight launches tomorrow. And you and I are both really excited for this expansion. And given the quality of Shadowlands, it's not hard to understand why. So, you know, we both thought it'd be fun to kind of just go over the greatest hits of Shadowlands and the greatest misses. You know, what we personally took from each of the expansion's features. Mm-hmm. And, you know, go into Dragonflight, like kind of discuss what makes us excited about revisiting Azeroth once again.
Yeah. And then we'll also talk about what is to come with Dragonflight, why it's so different, and what it means. I think one thing we really want to talk about is what it means for the franchise itself, because I think Dragonflight is very important for multiple reasons. So I'm excited to dig in. But let's first go to Shadowlands.
Man, I can't tell you how hyped I was for Shadowlands going into launch. And
absolutely. The trailer was so crazy.
And yeah, that opening cinematic with Bolvar getting his ass handed to him by Sylvanas. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, where are we going to go from here? The jailer? And of course, Blizzard was hyping him up to be the ultimate bad. And we'll get into that in more detail later. But I feel like the greatest period of time during this entire expansion was that launch period.
Yeah, but that's because when we were discovering so many things. Shadowlands was something very, very new. The idea that we were basically playing in the afterlife. And the jailer was in response to a lot of the fans saying, you guys don't have a big bad for these other expansions. BFA, the one that came out before this, was also generally a flop. And so one of the biggest downsides to that thing is that there was no big bad until they revealed N'Zoth was coming back towards the very end. And so in response to that, they're like, okay, here's your big bad. It's not one you know. It's brand new. And they're promising essentially this guy's going to be the new Lich King kind of thing. Like, he's that level of a bad guy. And they purposely made sure to kill off the Lich King again in this expansion to say, like, you guys got to move on from the best villain ever made. And so,
yeah, that's hard to top.
Second place in our tournament. Yeah, it's really tough. And, but that first, that beginning when you're kind of discovering these covenants and things like that, the dungeons were decently made. There was some definitely pluses in the beginning, but they wore thin quickly.
Indeed, yeah. I think that was the biggest contention point for Shadowlands was the whole Covenant debacle.
Yeah.
I know for lots of classes, there was always like one or two viable options to be the most optimized. And you and I both mained Hunter in this expansion.
Yeah.
And you interestingly went Night Fae, which was the top pick, and I went Kyrian.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was mainly more cosmetic than trying to be the most optimized DPS build.
Right.
I'm not sure that's the same for you.
No, if I were going cosmetic, I would have gone Bastion as well. I would have gone. Okay. I would have gone them. But that's the thing with World of Warcraft. We've played this game now for 18 years, and so we know how to optimize like crazy. We know how to be the best we can be at this, and Blizzard knows that we know that too, and they don't really listen to that very much. So yeah, Night Fae was just because it's the top DPS. So I was playing an area I didn't want to play in to be the best damage I can be. Looks great when I'm trying to impress other people or whatever, be the best I can be, but that means that for the most of my experience, I'm sitting in a place I don't care for. And I'd go to Bastion and do World Quest. I'm like, oh, this place looks so gorgeous. I love this whole concept. And that's a downside. Going forward, there's kind of a hint at this, is in Shadowlands, there are kind of four covenants. They're the Dragonflight colors. But all the experience, like all the progression in each of those factions, first off, are linked across the board. Like you can progress all four at the same time. They are 100% cosmetic, so there's no gain in your power from it. And you can interchange them, and everything you gain is on your ult. So if you make another character, they get everything you've unlocked already.
That's fantastic.
It is the most friendly expansion. We'll talk about it later on in more detail, but it's the most friendly expansion for that kind of thing. That feels very good from a guy who just spent 2 years in a place he doesn't care for. So I'm excited for that.
You know, yeah, we talk about how much Shadowlands kind of deviated from like alt friendliness.
Yeah.
There was so many systems that your main character had to grind, even more than BFA, really.
Yeah.
And it felt so time consuming just to keep up with one character, let alone two or three or four. It's like, holy crap, how can you do this to us? And to see them actually pivoting towards, you know, player retention and trying to say, hey, you guys can do whatever you like now and not be punished for it. It's like a breath of fresh air for this company and this game.
Kind of feels like when your parents are finally like at the point where like, look, you can stay home by yourself, or hey, you know, if you want to get a job, you can. We're not going to stop you. It's the idea that they finally trust us as players to just, we'll find our own fun if you guys just give us the open world. Look at Minecraft. They don't hold our hands, and that thing's rock solid to this day. Since what was it, Warlords of Draenor, they added the table, and since then they've been adding more and more systems. Basically new gameplay loops that are meant to slow us down or add more time. And so they've been adding more and more of these as time progresses, so that when you're logging in, you have more things you have to complete because of all these new systems. And what that does is it dilutes what the reason we play World of Warcraft is, maybe doing dungeons or PvP, fighting each other, stuff like that. All that's diluted by all these new systems. So it takes away from the thing that is fun to us. And Shadowlands was the peak of that. It had so many systems to a point where you just ditched some of them. You actually didn't care about your progression. And there's so many people who didn't step foot in Torghast after the first couple weeks. Torghast was a huge part of the expansion for it to not get touched by many, many, many players. That's bad.
You know, interestingly, it didn't really bother me that much at launch. Like, I have always stuck to my main. I've never really played with alts, so it didn't affect me as much as others. But, you know, keeping up with Mythic Plus and then raiding, and as more features are released, like in 9.1 with Corthia and then 9.2 with Sanctum of Domination, it's like, wow, there's like a lot of stuff they're adding on top of Torghast for legendaries, having to upgrade them and all this stuff. And then 9.3 comes out and Xerath Morris is yet another huge area you have to constantly be working in. And it's like, I just don't think my sanity can take this anymore. It's like a second job,
I will say Xerath Mortis was their first, that was their beta for Dragonflight. They were like, look, we're gonna try something out on this, guys. If you guys like this, we'll do this for the future expansions as well. At some point we'll need to talk about why they're making so many dramatic changes. There's one specific, you know, you and me both know. And Xerath Mortis was kind of the first pilot to that. I think it was widely successful in that sense, because we went in there, there was like new storyline quests, you know, building each week that lasted for like 6 weeks. That's the Nightborn philosophy they brought back over from Suramar. But as for progression wise, the gear was useless real quick. You didn't really care about the gear. It was all about cosmetics. A lot of people I talked to didn't bother doing anything after the main storyline, and they were fine with that because the main thing is the raid that opens up, of course. And there was a new system in there, but it was a system that basically said, each week we're going to give you guys a chance to take a piece of gear that you've earned whatever way you want to and turn it into a tier piece, which is the ultimate goal for gearing. And we're just going to let you have that. You just have to do it once per week and your ults will unlock it for free. I mean, it was like, yes, that's literally
night
everything.
And day difference. Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge,
in regards to progression.
Huge. Yeah.
Yeah. I will add on to that. Like, I recently did all three raids, the faded raids for the slime cat mount.
And yes, you did.
Like, along the way, it was worth it. You know, I had a really good time doing that with my wife. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Stressful at times, but fun. Yeah. And one of the things I actually really enjoyed was doing the dinar coins, like getting the progress for that, like clearing faded bosses. And then you could take that coin and you can make any piece you want from any of the raids. I think there's like a select list, not like a complete comprehensive list of everything.
Yeah.
But you can trade that coin in and get loot that you actually, you can target pieces you need. And it's like, we need more of that. That's perfect.
You know what I like about that is you spent the same amount of time as you would need to get that loot from actually going out to the raid and doing it. And Blizzard, was their idea in this patch and then the future expansions is like, look, Kyle spent 3 hours playing World of Warcraft trying to earn that piece of gear. Who are we to say, and it was difficult in its own way, who are we to say that he should have to go this way to get it? let's let them go that way and get it. Like, I just like that idea. Like, you're still playing World of Warcraft. You're finding your own way of having fun with it. And that works so well, in my opinion.
Yeah, I got tired really easily, especially in Sanctum of Domination, the raid, because you have to grind those tedious pieces of, I can't remember what they're called now, the gems that you slot into your armor.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just felt like, what is the point of this? It's going to get wiped away anyway. And I spent a ridiculous amount of time getting those, you know, prior to 9.3. And for them to just wipe it out completely, it's like, wow. It's like, why did we bother with this in the first place?
Yeah.
But it seems like they're learning their lesson now. They're seeing how players want to go after things when they know that they're going to get it. And it's like, that's all we need as a community.
And then also looking at the other side of things. So basically there's three facets. They say four, but there's really only three. There's raids, Mythic Pluses, and PvP. So for Mythic Pluses side of things, what did you think of the dungeons from Shadowlands?
They were okay. There was definitely a few I didn't like doing. Mainly Mist of Tyr and Scythe. I didn't like that one at all.
Yeah.
And there was the other one in Revendreth. I can't remember now. You probably know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think I do. The one where you're like slowly go through the courtyard and then you go into the castle and you kill the group and then you kill the boss at the end.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Both are not hunter friendly. I'll tell you that.
Indeed.
Much.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were solid in my opinion. Dota side, I think, is the best one. I think that was my favorite one. I did a lot of Halls of Attunement, I think that's called.
Halls of Atonement. Yeah.
Halls of Atonement. Yeah.
The one I was thinking of, I think, is called Sanguine Depths.
That sounds right.
That one I did not like at all.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. They're overall kind of forgettable. I'm a big Mythic Plus fan. Matter of fact, that's kind of been my main progression in this expansion in Shadowlands. Ever since Legion. Legion is when it like was really released. And it opened up a whole new world of fun to me because back in Wrath, man, a 10-man raid was the best. It was more intimate, more hardcore. So this was like a version of that. But of course, there is one big problem with that. And we saw it again with Shadowlands. There's a trinket that dropped out of the other side. And so you, when there's a new patch that comes out that upgrades all of the gear in dungeons, guess what you're doing again? The other side all the time until you get that trinket.
I know which trinket you're mean too.
Yeah. Unstable something or other. I just know the symbol because this is my cursed thing. What do you think about the new Shadowlands fix for this problem?
I enjoyed it immensely. I think adding in Mythic Plus, for me, that was a whole new type of enjoying the content that I've done dozens of times over. I did go after Keystone Master Seasons 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But due to real life stuff, I couldn't do 3 and 4.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy the grind the first time, but the second time it's like, okay, I'm starting to get fatigued a little. And having to do that again for 3 and 4, I would be like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. So what do you mean? What I said, what do you think about the Dragonflight fix to Shadowland plus fatigue?
Oh, gotcha.
I messed up. I said Shadowlands, but I meant Dragonflight.
No, I mean, all it does is improve player retention and having them feel engaged about the content they're doing.
Yeah.
And better rewards overall. So it's a win-win.
Yeah. And you're forced to, like, if it was in Shadowlands, we couldn't get the other side done at all. If it was. So that's like, that's huge. I think there's going to be a lot of complaints about it. But the idea that, like, man, I love this trinket, but literally it's replaced by an entirely different dungeon. That's interesting. And the fact that we're going back to old dungeons in normal rotation.
That's cool.
That's going to be really cool. So I'm excited to see how that works out. And then for PvP, I couldn't tell you if I PvP'd at all in Shadowlands. No,
I didn't, because the Covenant abilities were so wide-ranging, and you know, you always had to go to the best optimized pick for PvP builds, and it's like, there's enough to deal with already, just for, between Mythic Plus and having to spec between single target and AoE, same thing for raids, and then to do all that with PvP on top, it's like, so much time dedication split between the three. It's like, how do you manage all that?
Yeah,
for me, and I focus Covenant, on dungeons mostly.
Well, yeah, and the Covenant you chose for, and even dungeons between dungeons and raids, because there's AoE for single target essentially. But yeah, the Covenant you picked for PvE or for your dungeons or raids was oftentimes not the best one if you wanted a PvP. So, and for, I think for hunters, it's more Maldraxxon. You're supposed to go Maldraxxon, I think. But yeah, so you didn't do that. You couldn't mix and match as much as you'd like to do because it just wasn't optimized. And it's a shame that World of Warcraft players have to be as optimal as possible. But again, we're 18 years in and we know what we're doing. So that's how it is. yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to just getting out of Shadowlands so much. I'm so tired of the zones divided by portals. Oh, so terrible.
I think the aesthetic too is a lot of the reason why we're so tired, because it's constantly like oppressive and the enemy design is like really negative feeling.
Yeah.
Like all the time. I hated going into the mall.
Like, oh, the mall was dealing, such a drain on your soul.
Dealing with all that. And yeah, they literally designed it to be soul sucking. And it's,
yeah, that was literally the point, and I felt it.
If you told me it wasn't supposed to be like that, I'd be like, no way.
Yeah. Anything else from Shadowlands? Because I really have, I'm so tired of that expansion. I'm done with it.
I agree. Yeah. As a hunter main, like, I felt like this was probably one of the worst experiences I've had with WoW as a as a hunter main, like just playing the character, the class. Like, it was not fun. It was not fun for me. I think the greatest part of the expansion was the launch, because it was all new and fresh. And
of course,
you know, I loved each of the individual zones, but they quickly wore out their welcome, especially as you did world quests. Like, world quests were terrible in this expansion. I hated doing them. I did them anyway, because I hate myself.
Gotta be helpful. So,
and as far as the raids go, I loved Castle Nathria. That was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Sanctum, I did not like at all. Sylvanas was a very disappointing boss fight. And I've only done Sepulcher once for the Slime Cat mount, which was pretty fun. But narratively, it was just a mess. Like, this expansion was just really bad.
I mean, just my final thoughts. The Jailer, what a crappy boss. Like, he was so basic that it was just like, really? This is the one you guys were putting all your hopes on for Shadowlands, on this one boss? And, you know, whatever. Sylvanas was cool. I liked Sylvanas' end in this expansion. But yeah, the Jailer was a total disappointment.
She did get her much deserved fate doing daily quests of the Maw forever. So that's
forever. Yeah. Poor thing. And I feel bad that Tyrande sent her owl to watch her. It's like the owl has to be in the Maw the whole time.
I know. I felt bad for it too. I'm like, he doesn't deserve that.
I know. He did literally nothing wrong. Oh, wow. That's great.
And I would after Shadowlands, you know, I don't think there's anything that's ever going to top how bad this expansion was because of the real life stuff with Blizzard too. Like, all the controversy from last year. And this is definitely going to be like WoW's lowest point, I think.
Yeah. Let's get into the controversy.
In history.
Obviously, we've talked about it throughout multiple of our shows, but the sexual scandals. And still they're in lawsuits or in filings for it and cases and yada, yada, yada. In the process of trying to fix this at the Blizzard work, they've let go a lot of the top brass that were kind of keeping things going in one way. And the company as a whole has made a shift to, hey, guys, we're going to listen to our fans more and just do what you guys want to do and let you have your freedom. We're not going to try to, you know, scientifically figure out the best way to keep you guys paying $15
time because everybody plays well. Time gating you. Yeah.
Right. So we're not going to time gate you. We're not going to try to hold your hand or anything like that. We're just going to, and they see how powerful Classic is because they released Classic and Classic was the way that Dragonflight's supposed to be. And the idea is like, we're going to set this beautiful world up. We're going to give you as many options as you want and you could do as much of it as you want. And the linchpin to me was an interview. I mentioned the thing to Naras like three times now. There was an interview with Ian Hatzikostas. He's the the leader of World of Warcraft, basically. And he said, somebody asked, like, well, what do you do at the end game if you're done with all your progression stuff? Because it felt wrong to the interviewer. Like, wait a minute. So you're not saying there's no world quests? It's like, what am I supposed to do? And he says, well, then you go play a different game. That has never been said by somebody at Blizzard. Never.
It's like a revelation almost. Yeah. It's like, why didn't you guys have this philosophy before?
Yeah. We'll return to World of Warcraft. We don't have to have it be the only game we ever, ever play. That was huge.
I have to add, Shadowlands did feel that way to me.
Like it was the only game you had to play?
Right. Because I was really invested in, you know, really pushing my character as far as possible. But it became such a time-consuming process. I did miss out on a lot of other games that I would have rather played, I think, at the time.
Yeah. 2018... was a really good year for that. Like for me, 2018, there's so many good games that came out that year, but it's also like a lot of really good World of Warcraft. So I was kind of busy and you can't play anything else. It's what was it? God damn, I can't remember. It was like Wrath. Remember Wrath? Like, so for Wrath, it was this way where you could like max out your gear, and I would have so many friends go play something else until a new raid comes out. And then meanwhile, I liked World of Warcraft, so I just made alts. And so like you could build in the repeat stuff if you wanted to, and yet some people don't have to always play the game all the time forever. It feels good. Yeah.
So Dragonflight.
Yes.
Well, actually, before that, where would you rank Shadowlands in the grand tier list of WoW expansions? Where would you put it in?
Well, we spent 20 minutes bitching about it. I would have to put it dead last. I've never had... BFA is a better expansion.
It's between those two, right? It's between those two.
Which is, I think, is kind of telling for Blizzard. Like, the last two expansions you guys put out have been the worst two expansions you've ever put out. All right, Dragonflight. You've got a lot to carry. Try to be Legion again.
I mean, both have their pros and cons. I do feel like Shadowlands is the worst. I do.
Yeah.
I actually remember enjoying BFA a lot more than I did ever playing Shadowlands.
Yeah. I liked the world of BFA. I on both continents, I liked BFA.
The patches were good. Was shaky. The patches were good for BFA, but the patches for Shadowlands were garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hated Korthia. And Sanctum of Domination was awful.
Yeah.
Xerath Bordis, it's okay. You know, I did a little bit of that, and the new raid Sepulchre was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't feel like I had to do it like I did with BFA.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, the BFA raids were notoriously great, actually. Yeah. The BFA raids, like when you fought that Jaina fight was so good.
Oh, that was good.
Yep. Yeah. Stuff like that. So hopefully we get a return to that. I think so. We're going to have dragons again. So how is it going to go bad?
I'm hoping so.
Yeah. So Dragonflight, do you want to go over the kind of basics of what's coming to Dragonflight with new things, well, new mechanics?
I was kind of hoping you would do that because I've kind of taken a step back from previews. Like because of Shadowlands and how bad that experience was to me. Like I actually lost like all interest in WoW for like a good 8 months. Okay.
And I can't help but keep up to date on like production and stuff like that on pretty much everything, including World of Warcraft. So we'll go through things bit by bit, kind of breaking down the new stuff, okay? First off, level cap's going to be 70. That's pretty easy, right? We're going to get 10 more levels. There was a time where that is kind of news, because there was a time where World of Warcraft used to do every 5 levels. Remember how they tried that for a second? That did not go well.
I didn't mind it so much, but Cataclysm and Pandaria, that was kind of a weird era for leveling.
The big thing, and we actually have a listener, or we have a member of our Geek Freaks that dislikes to do this, but dragon flying, it will be huge in this expansion.
I think that's the feature I'm most excited about.
Yeah. Have you made an evoker yet? Because we can make invokers now, the new class.
I've made one, but I haven't gotten around to playing it yet because I've been trying to play catch up on my hunter.
If you play the invoker at all, they have a racial ability called Soar, which mimics the dragon flying. And I was like, oh, dragon flying looks so cool. It kind of looks like a mini game in World of Warcraft. And what it is like flying right now, it's kind of like swimming where you could go whatever direction you want, up, down, left, right. Yep. And you could just stop touching anything on your keyboard and you'll sit there and fly in place. This new one is much more like gliding, where you have to actively make your character go up, down. Like you have to actually control your character, otherwise it'll just stop midair and crash. Like you'll
Okay.
Yeah. You can't, like you could glide down endlessly in one direction, but you'll hit something if you do that. You're always going forward no matter what. This new flying is harder to do and insanely more rewarding. I mean, you're lightning faster just overall in regular flying, but it actually is fun. You know what it feels like to me? Imagine Spider-Man on the PlayStation without web swinging.
Really? It's like that, huh?
So now that you have, now that you bring
like when you're
in
free-falling?
What I'm saying is like World of Warcraft this entire time has been Spider-Man without the web slinging.
And I see what you mean. Okay.
Gotcha. Now they're adding in that part where you're like, oh my God, why did we not have this already? this is actually the game. Yes. Once you feel it, because at first I was like, yeah, whatever. Once you feel a little bit of it, you're like, holy cow, this is literally game changing. You're going to love it. By the way, as a little side thing, a little testament to how Dragonflight's looking, you can literally log in. There's like these golden coins that are floating around in Dragon Isles. As you collect them, you unlock this talent tree. It's a short talent tree, but it's there for flying. And you could literally do those all in day one. It's like, it takes 2 hours to go grab all of them. And then all of a sudden you have maxed out flying. It's the fastest it'll be until a new patch comes out. And okay. Once you unlock it on your main, all your alts have it too.
That's good news all around.
That's pretty cool. We're going to have 8 new dungeons. Okay. But the key is for Mythic Plus, only 4 are active. And so what they're doing is there are 4 Mythic Plus of the new ones and 4 of the old ones being brought back. So like for the first one, I think it's COS and something else. Oh, Halls of Valor from Legion. There's okay. one of the BFA ones, stuff like that. So now those are on par plus 4 of the new dungeons. And then when the new patch comes out, there's 4 classic dungeons coming that are not those ones and the other 4. So you'll never have the same dungeons available to you on back-to-back patches.
So it's patch rotation based, not like weekly?
Patch rotation based.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I thought they would have done way, like a weekly rotation.
No, but that's what we're talking about before. Remember how like you wanted to get that trinket out of the other side? Well, right. When the new patch comes out, you don't go to the other side to get your trinket again. You have to figure out a whole new trinket. You're changing your build each patch. Because
not sure if I'm keen on that.
It's because the one thing that's causing some stir, yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, if you're actually targeting something and you want to grind it out as much as possible, then you have to wait until a new patch comes out. Like, that doesn't really make a lot of sense to
no,
me.
No, the idea is that you're grinding whatever you want in that patch you're in, but then when a new patch comes out with a new raid, Myth Plus's levels change, stuff like that, kind of level patch, then there's new dungeons to you.
Oh, so, I see. So it's kind of like, you know, to freshen things up. Like, the builds change patch to patch. Like
every build changes.
For most optimized build. Okay.
Exactly.
That makes more sense.
So, like, for a hunter, you're like, oh, well, I get this trinket and this trinket, so that I'm really leaning on my kill shot. Well, you get all new trinkets to slate with. They're like, oh, no, it's all about multi-shot now or some shit, you know?
Gotcha.
So that, yeah. It is a thing, though, that everybody is like, this might be a problem. So,
I mean, there's always something. I can see the defense for it. You know, it helps, you know, spicing up each patch and changes up the flavor of grinding the same dungeons over and over, because that was a problem in Shadowlands. Like, after Keystone Season 2 in Shadowlands, I was sick of doing those dungeons. So yeah. I think that'd be a good change.
And the idea of bringing it, because they tried it out last expansion, Legion Time Walking Mythic Pluses, and they found that it was very successful for 2 reasons. First off, people who played the game before were now kind of teaching new players how to play the game the proper way. And there were certain items back in the old world that just trumped everything that was released in Shadowlands. So if you were a hunter, you waited for the Warden dungeon to come out for Legion, and that was the best trinket no matter what item level it was for you. And that'll happen again now. Now they'll bring in some random dungeon from an old expansion, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's right, they had this one trinket that, you know, lowered my arm pen, whatever. And so I'm gonna go hard for that. And we're gonna have that back. That'll be fun to kind of toy around with some old stuff.
I can dig it.
Yeah. Professions have the largest rework we've ever seen in World of Warcraft.
Yes, I have seen that in the pre-patch.
Yeah. So basically, there's going to be quality to the items. You can put out orders for things. It is a top to bottom, completely redo of the professions. It will be its own level of progression. And this is something they could build on going forward for future expansions, I think. It feels nice and fresh, something new.
Yeah, hopefully they stay more relevant as well, because usually after the first raid tier, they're like completely like not even necessary to level up anymore. That's why I've always stuck with enchanting, because that's always useful.
We have multiple new factions. We have the Dragonflights to work with, but we also have like the, God, I can't remember, the Tanaka or whatever, the...
Oh, the Tonka?
Not the Tonka, now that I'm saying it wrong. The Walrus people. Gosh dang it, Frank.
I know, I'm spacing it too.
We have the Walrus people, and everybody is predicting they're going to be our first allied race out of this expansion too. So we could expect that as well. We have Vault of the Incarnates. That's going to be our raid.
Okay.
So to kind of explain the big bad as of now, there were these things called the Primalists, and they've released 3 kind of catch-up stories so far, so you guys should watch those.
Legacy videos. I did watch those.
Legacy videos, yeah.
They're good.
So there were, at one point, basically, the dragons were more primal, more dinosaur-like, and there was one dinosaur that rose above all, which you guys can see his bones in Dragon Blight right now. The reason it's called Dragon Blight is because that's where he's died. there were five dragons basically given inspiration from the Titans, which will be its own problem that I'm excited to explore. And they attacked and beat out, what's his name? Dragacon or Gagacon or whatever. I don't know. And they beat him. So then once they beat him, they were given more Titan enlightenment. Think of like blessed.
Oh, Galakrond.
Galakrond. Thank you.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. They were kind of like blessed and raised to a higher form of dragons. They had more intelligence, more speech, and the ability to actually like, they were given a responsibility, you know, and all led by Alexstrasza. Now, on the other side of that, there were some that refused the Titan gift and became more primal, and they found their power in the elements of the land itself. So, just as a real broad sense, think of it this way. Some of the dragons became paladins, the other ones became shamans. You know?
Basically, yeah. That's yeah. true.
Yeah. And we've always been teaming with the paladins this entire time, and the shamans are attacking. One of the things we know is going to happen, it happens in one of the dungeons that we hit called Ruby Life Pools. We find out that this water that's going through Dragon Isles is like blessed by the Titans, and it's used to mind control all dragon kind to believing that the Titans are their saviors. And that there's a truth that Odin has, which we've fight in Legion Raid, or the Legion Dungeon, Halls of Valor, which happens to be one of the dungeons that's available this first patch. Odin is actually hiding the truth from all of mortals of their deception that they've had of this entire time. So that's going to be kind of part of it, that we're learning that, you know, the Titans aren't always good, actually. And one of them that we've worked with for a long time is shady as all hell. He thinks he's doing right, but he's not 100% right. So that'll become a problem. So this new raid, Vault of the Incarnates, is going to be in a lava area, and it's going to be dealing a lot with the Primalists, these first ones. And they said that after we beat this first raid, we're going to learn who the big boss is for the expansion.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Do you think it might be Old God related, or do you think it'd be like maybe an elemental lord like Ragnaros again, or what do you think?
I think it's Galakrond. I think we're going to bring him Ooh. Back. Yeah.
Interesting.
And,
okay.
And he was Old God touched. So it's always Old God stuff, right? So it might be C'Thun. Not C'Thun. That's not right. Yeah, C'Thun probably.
If he's one of them.
Yeah.
C'Thun, Yogg-Saron.
Yogg-Saron. I was trying to think of the one in
Nazoth and Isharge. I can't remember. I can't pronounce that.
Yeah. I think it'll be Yogg-Saron though, because it was like this whispers and stuff like that. It's very much. So we're gonna be having all that going on. That should be a lot of fun.
That's a good theory. I think that's probably gonna come true. Galakrond is the biggest dragon of all of Warcraft lore, so why not bring him back for the dragon themed expansion?
If it's not him, I also think it could be. Ah, damn it. I can't remember names all of a sudden. As soon as this mic's in front of me, I can't remember the names.
You can describe it to me. I'll probably come up with the name.
Okay. You know the Bronze Dragonflight. Their leader. Nazdormu. Yep. When he... Because he knows that eventually Murizond. He's going to become... Thank you.
Murizond. Yep.
I think it might be Murizond.
It could be him, too. I was thinking that as well.
Yeah. Talius, who is a very popular streamer, stuff like that, he theorizes that he's going to find out about Odin's lie, and that's what turns him into Murizond. So that would be really amazing. And
the fact that he is the main focus of the legacies,
yeah,
that kind of gives me feeling like, okay, Blizzard's kind of leading us in here by having him be the one to introduce the Drakthyr as a playable race to Azeroth. And I think we'll see more corruption as we go along the cycle of the expansion, which kind of excites me because I've always liked fighting Murizond in the, what was it called? The Battle of Dirnhold Keep.
Mm-hmm.
Dungeon way back in Burning Crusade, they hinted at this. So it's, I think that's pretty cool.
His flight has always been my favorite flight. I love Chromie, which is one of his companions. Mm. And he has always been my favorite of the dragon aspects. So I am excited for any time we get to interact with him. Like we're basically going to pick one of these factions I knew it right away is Bronze Dragonflight for sure. And you're going to design your, you know, dragon that you're going to be riding right off the bat. It's one of the first things you do. And I'm hoping to make him look like he's, boom, part of that.
Do these different factions of dragons that you can pick from, do they offer player power at all? Or is that like completely off the table? Good.
Off the table completely. It's just
that's
story.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, story and cosmetics.
Oh, that's perfect.
Kyle, there is no borrowed power at all in Dragonflight.
That's fantastic. How so gear will actually matter. And
gear's the only thing that matters.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I think that's the biggest problem we've seen in recent retail WoW is the fact that borrow power has been such a huge crutch for us as the player to rely on, that we start to feel kind of gimped in a way when it's taken away. And we've had that happen countless times up to this point. And I'm really excited to get back into my character, which I've mained for 15 plus years now, and just feel like on my own, I have strength again.
Yeah. Some of the other little things, you know, pet battles is getting cleaned up. The WoW companion app is fully coming back, and this time it'll have Auction House in it. It already has Auction House in there now, but you know, that's back again.
Do we have world quests again?
World quests are off the table. So what it is, which is, that's a big game change. What it is you have, you know how like normally, like every, I think it's 6 hours, it populates new world quests and some expire. Now I want to say it's like 4 or 3 world quests that you have for the week.
And oh, wow. That's awesome.
It's more event-based too. So it's not like you're going to kill blah, blah, blah. It's like, hey, there's this event going on over here, that kind of thing. There's one particular one where you're helping the chef of the Walrus people. Again, I can't believe I can't remember the name. Make a big stew. And so everybody's there like gathering resources for this big stew that he's making for everybody. So it's like that. It's more event-based than it is actually like go kill, you know, 14
pigs. That sounds great, because doing dailies in Shadowlands was... That was bad, man.
It's depleting. Yeah, especially with Shadowlands, you had to go between portals and stuff like that, which slowed you down so much.
It was awful. Awful.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for this.
With dragon flying, you're going to be zooming around this entire... The dragon isles are about the size of Northrend, so they're pretty freaking big. But you got to remember that we are cooking. We're flying faster than we ever have now in this expansion. And my suggestion to you, you know, tomorrow the expansion is coming out, but today... Make that invoker, or you have the invoker, log into that invoker, try out Sora.
I'm probably going to get around to it today at some point.
Yeah.
Try Along with finishing God of War Ragnarok. I'm trying.
Oh, man. Squeaks is texting me this morning.
Right there.
Squeaks is like, okay, I just did this. What do I, how close am I? And he's like, I'm loving it, but I've got other games to play.
Yep.
He just bought Gotham Knights and he's starting that up. He just saved the hell dog basically and put the wolf's soul into it.
Oh, Garm.
So I'm like, you're about like 80%. You're getting close. You're getting real close.
I'm right at the point where it's no return. So I'm excited to get that done today. I'm looking forward to it.
I beat it, but now I'm going back and I'm doing side quests now so that's fun.
It's so good. Like I did all the side quests up to this point and tried to get 100% as much as possible, and clearing Vanaheim. I don't know if you've gotten there yet. The crater and the jungle area, sinkhole area, is so awesome. Like, it's really fun to side quest.
I think I might have done that one. Yeah. I won't spoil anything, but yeah, it's really cool. Like, after you're done, you also have this new thing where you have to clear out Asgardians that are like spread out throughout the realms. And that's fun too, because they hit pretty hard now. So, they're tough. Well, you've already been fighting it the hardest you can.
The Berserkers. Yeah.
So they're trying to get those done too. Yeah. That Bifrost, when it hits, you're like, son of a gun. That sucks so much. Yeah.
That's another topic for another time.
Yep. anything else you want to talk about I have the list up here, World of Warcraft.
Yeah, let's keep going. Let's
patch
keep
notes. Going. Well, I'm just saying, like, pretty much that's the main features. There's not a lot of main features. So if there's anything else you want to bring up, I can look it up for you while I'm here.
Are there like any major changes to like raid difficulties or compositions? Like, is there still raid flex?
It's going to be all that's the same, but we actually have tier gear for everybody now. Everybody has tier gear. It all looks different. Gear.
Nice. Good. Yeah.
Tier gear has different, even color between every version of it, you know? And the biggest difference, of course, is we have a new class and race, the Invokers, which is a mid-ranged class that can be healing or DPS.
I have to just jut in here. Like, I was doing these faded raids, and there were so many evokers that I had to compete for with gear.
Yeah.
And it's like, or compete with for gear. Mm-hmm. And it's like, God dang it. I got to deal with this.
Well, us hunters have lived a pretty good life where we only had shamans to compete with. Meanwhile, plates got multiple. So it's going to be hard for hunters to be like, son of my God, all of a sudden these new guys. And not only that, everybody's playing them. It's like being a warrior during DK times. So we're gonna be a lot of competition. True. I'm actually switching mains, so that shows you how awesome invokers are. My invoker is my main.
Let's talk about that. Like, why do you feel the need to switch?
So I've been trying to play the Invoker as much as possible over the last couple of weeks to see if it's really worth, because like with the Hunter, just as it is for you, I'm sure it's an art at this point. Like I'm so freaking fluid with it. It's perfect.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I'm like, it's good time to kind of mix things up, freshen things up. First of all, secondly, the synergy, the flow of the Invoker. I'm playing a Devastation Invoker, so that's DPS. It's such a good flow. It kind of reminds me of like Arcane Mage, where you're like, man, if I can master this thing, it's going to be just so clean. And I've done a lot of dungeons already, been doing the new Ulduar dungeon that just came out that you can play now. And I am putting up, which it's hard to say these numbers matter, but I am putting up numbers that I feel comfortable with. I'm like, okay, I could see myself really mythic, because they are, it would be like, you have two versions of the DPS. You can go AoE or single target, really. Mm-hmm. If you go towards AoE like I have now, you are pouring damage over the battlefield. Like, I love the idea of, like, everything you do is making more and more AoE. Like, I love that idea. So, and that Soar is so good. They have so much utility as well. They have a Lust. They have a Res. I mean, a Battle Res. No, just a regular Res. Sorry, regular Res. So, they have, like, near Hunter utility, which is something that's really nice. Oh, my Hunter.
Man, Hunters are just... I've aired my grievances with you off air. I just wish we had more survivability as a class, and I don't think we're getting that in Shadowlands or Dragonflight, excuse me, which is a shame. You are making a good argument for Evoker, though.
You got to try it though, because it feels very different. Because you're mid range, it's the first one to ever be mid range, so you're ranged, but you still have to be a little bit closer. And
oh, okay, so you can't be like way out like a Hunter can be. Okay,
all their spells are mid, so you're literally in between the two, and that feels a little weird to get used to. Basically, you're kind of like you're a couple feet behind the melee almost, but you are back enough to be safe. Your mobility is only beat by the Demon Hunters. You have that much mobility. It's kind of hard. I'm not really saying there's anything wrong with them, because I really don't know what's wrong with them. They're soft as hell. There we go. You're doing a lot of damage, but you have to stay mobile. And there is a couple abilities that you have to stand and cast. Like you have these empowered. That's the biggest thing difference from them, is they have these abilities where you sit there and like charge up the ability. Depending on how you charge, changes the effects.
Yeah, that was my main deterrent for playing the class. I don't like the idea of holding a button and just waiting for that to be filled up and let go. Yeah. That feels kind of slow to me. Like, I love my Hunter because I can quickly ping stuff and tap target over. And I also have the speed of movement, which is great for raiding and dungeons, because you can easily get out of a hairy situation with disengage.
We have an ability that's like disengage, but you can move sideways with it and stuff like that. And you can cast while you're doing it. So that's kind of nice. The empowered abilities, first off, there's a setting, which I suggest you click. And Hazel is the one that suggested this, where instead of holding the button, you just start it and stop it. That is a big help.
Oh, you can do that. Okay. You can kind of like toggle between the two ways of doing it.
Exactly.
Oh, that's nice. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
In that sense, it feels much more like a cast, like a regular casting. And there's two big empowered abilities you use as a Devastator. One of them is just making the spell stronger and stronger as you go. It's an AoE. The other one is a single target that the longer you let it go, the more targets it'll hit. So for that one, if you're going on a raid boss, you just whoop, boom, first one, go, because you don't need to hit anything else. And if he has like two adds come out, like, dum, dum, boom, hit it, let it hit, get those two adds too. And then the other one's like, oh my God, so many times I've pulled a big group, hit that other one, let it max the bar out, and then hit it and just like one shots a freaking field in front of me, and it feels so great. It's amazing.
And not
there's
to mention,
a couple knockbacks too to keep you alive while you're doing all this empowering.
Soar can be used in old content too, right?
Oh yeah, brother.
That's also a great feature, like for farming old content.
Yeah, I soar from Timeless. What is that? Caverns of Time. I can soar from there comfortably into like the other side of Nguru Crater.
Wow, that's very
fast
awesome
too. Yeah,
that's cool.
Max speed at with soaring, which it's even faster with dragon flying, I will say, but max speed of soaring is 540%.
That's insane. Like, I did the Dragonflight pre-patch incursion event where I would travel to Caverns of Time to get to Ngoro.
Yeah,
and it felt like forever by flying. And yeah, that's a great argument to play the class.
Yeah, I can't suggest you try it out today enough. I can't wait to hear what your thoughts are on Soar.
I will.
Yeah. Been a blast. but yeah, that's basically it for Dragonflight. Just a full on a level except we're going to be streaming it. I want to throw this out real quick. We're going to be streaming it like crazy the day it comes out. Two things to remember. First off, it will never release at the time they said it's going to release. never happens.
No, no, I'm already prepared for that. So I'm going to get as far as I can prep-wise today.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to finish God of War tonight. And then I'm going to do the God of War epilogue stuff tomorrow morning while waiting for Dragonflight to launch. That's my plan.
Supposed to launch 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock p.m. for Pacific Standard Time. So I predict I'll be on around 8. So I'm going to be doing podcast stuff.
We won't get in until like 6 p.m. PST or 8 p.m. PST. You know how these things go.
One of the big problems is that they get DDoSed a lot. And we talked about it on Geek Freaks this last week before the Thanksgiving break. Blizzard, due to an agreement thing, they're shutting down the China servers. They just shut them down. And they're already experiencing a problem where the Chinese players are invading like the Taiwan servers and the Hong Kong servers, stuff like that, and taking them over. I have a feeling we're going to have some DDoSes out of China for sure, because that's an expansion they're not getting now. And so it's whatever. You could blame whomever you want to, but it's unfortunate.
Those of us more experienced know how these launches go. Like, they're hit or miss.
Yeah.
Like, so, I remember Shadowlands had a great launch, actually.
It was decent.
Surprising to see, but I think that was probably why I enjoyed that period of time in the game so much.
Nothing is as bad as Warlords of Draenor launch when one of the buttons you needed didn't work or was like one at a time. What a mistake that was. Oh my God. I got lucky on that too, but just watching everybody else be like, 2 hours I've been trying to press this one button, nothing. Yeah, sorry, buddy. Also, the other thing with the stream is we had planned on raising money for the UC Davis Children's Hospital. There's a bit of a snafu. It was my fault. And so we're not going to be able to do that stream now, but we'll do it in the future. We'll make up for it and do it. Yeah. Mm. So we'll make up for it, though. Probably like a raid stream or something like that. It'll be fun. But yeah, I botched it. I ended up waiting too long to get us prepped for it. It's like, oh, shoot. My bad. I thought I had more time.
So. Well, you got enough on your plate as it is. Not to mention
just a few things.
Thanksgiving coming up for you anyway.
Yeah. It was nice being able to take this. Yeah, it was nice being able to take a break for Thanksgiving. We still ended up recording like Outlast podcast in between two different Thanksgivings. But
great show, by the way.
I'm loving
it. I got caught up yesterday and I'm loving both of your commentary on the show. I can't recommend it enough if you're a fan of Survivor. Good stuff.
I'm loving Survivor right now too. That's a side thing, but my God, it's so good right now.
The last episode. I have a lot to discuss with you off air.
Okay, if we're going to talk about it right after this thing, because I can't wait to talk about it more. I love it.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But I think that about wraps up our discussion on World of Warcraft. I just from hearing these new features, I'm excited to dive in tomorrow, if we can dive in tomorrow. And also check out the Drakthir Evoker today. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, they're going to be OP. There's no way they can't be. It's pretty crazy.
I will say, like, when I raided for the Slime Cat, like, Drakthir was consistently, like, top 3 DPS. And that's really impressive.
Yeah. And you know how Blizzard is with the new class. They're always going to give them a little extra love and for Nerf that expansion.
Incoming. Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
We'll see. But anyway, that wraps up this week's Pushing Buttons. Thank you for joining us. Kevin is still MIA. Who knows when he'll be back? Maybe after we stop talking about WoW. Who knows?
For sure he wasn't coming back for this one. But the thing is he's got 4 dogs in the house right now. He's babysitting 3. And one of them, he's got a brand new puppy, freaking puppy ever. So,
Check out the photo on Discord. Except you can't because it's in the podcasters category.
We'll have it put it up in the regular category so everybody can see it. There we go.
But yeah, he's got his hands full. I don't blame him for taking a break. He needs it. He's been working his ass off and getting his new house all fixed up. So kudos to Kevin. He's making some good life changes. Yeah, and that's cool. As well. Yes. Yeah. But we miss you. Come back.
Yeah, baby, come back.
Any last words?
See you guys in the Dragon Isles.
See you then. Adios.
Bye.